We have show notes? We don't have show notes?
Hell no. This is B-Team, Tyler. If you got show notes, kind
of... Okay. We don't have show notes. All right. I like it.
Unless William's going to do them on 5 minutes' notice.
Right?
Yeah, I just got home like 5 minutes ago.
Nice.
We've got a broken robot. It's fine.
Like badly broken or?
No. They just manufactured a part wrong, and then we were messing with the arm and it snapped, and so they have to refix it. So instead of me waiting around for them to remill a part, I'm just like, peace, guys. I'm out of here. I'll see you tomorrow.
Right. There you go.
Or I guess Thursday, because tomorrow's Valentine's Day. But yeah.
Sure. That stupid holiday.
All right, everyone. Galactic Holonet. Welcome to my boiler room. I guess this is the first official episode of the boiler room. We did a couple of live casts, but this is the B-Team. After 9 long months of anticipation, we're finally fulfilling the promise we all made to ourselves, the drunken promise we all made at Worlds, and doing the first inaugural episode. So hopefully we can do some more in the future, but... And I don't know why we call it the B-Team either, Tyler, because, I mean, let's be real, man. Like, we're carrying this show when it comes
right
down to it. Like,
it's
come
true.
On.
We have the two primary starters. It's fine.
But, no, I got Tyler Tippett, Kaelin Wong, and William Barnacle. What's up, guys?
Hey, how's it going?
What's going on?
So, Kaelin, do we have an official job for you on the ship yet?
No, I think in one of the live casts we like tried to figure out something, but I do not have an official one.
I can't remember what that would have been if we did figure out something.
Yeah,
it's not you're a non-enlisted officer. We'll put it that way.
Yeah,
Kaelin's the epic ship pilot because he knows
that's
the rules.
Right.
That's
right. I love epic rules, right? So I fly epic ships.
Perfect.
He flies the Great Fox. Well, if we don't have any other introductions, Tyler, can you think of anything? No?
I'm trying to think. Did we talk... Have we had an episode since I went to Indy? I feel like we did. I don't remember. It's hard.
We talked about Crate Cup last episode.
That would have been the weekend after then, right?
Yeah, that was the weekend before Indy. I don't know. We went to Indy. That was last weekend. Will and I did. It did not go well for us.
Could have been worse.
It could have been worse. It's true. We both went 500. Although, like, my last game, I phoned in and didn't care. We didn't win anything of value. So I didn't bring back anything fun for the booty section.
I mean, I did lose to 3-star Vipers somehow, some way.
It's true. Yeah, you.
Oh, was that the guy with the 3 PTL star?
Yeah.
Vipers?
Yeah.
Yep.
Didn't he get, like, top 4?
Yeah, he did.
Top 4.
Yeah. We were rooting him on.
It's entirely possible that he should have been, like, in the finals. His top 8 match, which is also streamed, which is a great match, was against Quad Wookiees, and I think he used all his brain power in that match.
Right.
Because it was like the top 4 match started, and then he just kind of like blocked his own Guri 3 turns in a row.
Yeah.
Like, where he didn't block it, but like Guri couldn't get where she needed to be because she would block Zizor. And like, you could just tell the fatigue hit him. And he even said, he was just like, yeah, that's me. Like, I hit that wall and I couldn't go on.
Yeah, that top 8 game was Wookiees. Like, he had to make every calculated decision. Like, do I bait the shot at range 1?
Oh, yeah.
I have no focus token, so I spend it on offense just to get that damage through the burn on the Wookiees. But he did it. He only lost 1 star rate, right? He had, like, 2 on... like.
Yeah, he had both of them at the end. Yep.
Yeah. I saw that matchup, and I was like, well, it was a nice story for the old Triple Vipers, but, yeah, that was really impressive.
Yeah, he was good. Yeah, it was a fun game with him too because we were both talking the entire time. I was like, hey, we're playing X-Wing. We've got arc ships. It's good. But yeah, he just got his green dice, got the evades he needed when he needed them, so I couldn't eye on him when he was going to be screwed, and that was kind of game. So,
mm-hmm. All right. Well, Kaelin, you went to a regional this weekend.
Yes, I did.
How did that go?
Decently well, I guess. I wanted to go for the win, but top 4 ain't bad.
Oh, really? You wanted to win? Really?
Who would have guessed?
Who doesn't? Yeah, but it was a local one, so... I wanted to defend it for Canada, but no, Americans came and took it. So now I need to go down to America and take one of yours. Or try to. Probably fail.
There you go. Come down to Chicago. Although I think the tickets are sold out.
That's a very far way to go.
That's a system open. Never mind. It's not a regional.
Yeah.
We'll see. I've got the Portland one's coming up this week, so we'll see how well I do there. No, it was pretty good though. I flew PAL bases. My first Imperial flying in a tournament. I've converted over from my rebel scumness.
Yeah, so basically Cethapede Ghost got too popular, so you're like, nah, I'm too good for this, I gotta go fly PAL bases now.
Yeah, it's like, even though I flew the Ghost for like 150 games, or like an entire year and a half of a season, I said, nope, this Ghostless is still too much for me. I don't agree with it, that Ghost is dumb.
It is very dumb. And I managed to not see it the entire game at the time at Indy. It was very frustrating.
Me too. I planned my list for it. The only person that made it to the Cop Cut was Chris Norris, who won it all. And I just barely missed him. Like, the only time we could meet him is the final. And I made a mistake. Nice. I lost to Poe, who went full movie. He just only rolled paint.
Yep.
Yeah, and then I lost my Countess Ryad in two rounds of combat.
Just strong.
All to Poe.
Yeah, all Poe.
Poe po just two-rounded Ryad?
Two-rounded Ryad. It was plot on repos.
That's... you okay?
Yeah, like... it's my fault I put her in that position if she got shot, but... yeah.
Sure. X7 you still expect a defender, an X7 defender to last more than two rounds.
Yeah, so...
yeah, I had an IG go down in three shots, so... you know, it happens.
Yeah. Those dem three agility ships.
Right. Yeah, but, with token stack.
Yeah, with token stacks. Yeah.
Yeah, token stack. But no, it was a good weekend overall. Like, Inquisitor didn't take a damage card until he died in the final game. So Inquisitor thing. So I think I flew pretty well. Like, I only lost the Palp Shell maybe four times, including the cut. So that's nine games. So it was pretty good. Ryan died once in the Swiss due to double harpoons and a TLT fire at Pascal 12.
Strong.
Yeah.
Someone brought Rourke and Swarm Tactics. Jeez.
It was Rourke with Swarm Tactics, Aaron Kraken with PS10 Nim. So it was 2 12s and a 10. But it was like double harpoon TLT to trigger the harpoon conditions. Like, well,
yeah.
Ryan ate it.
Oh, so I mean, it was like my first loss in Swiss was against triple defender, like Swarm Leader defender, and I was like, oh, okay. And he varying against Tayo the green dice game against me, because I saw him the next game and they all died. I was like, I remember shooting those things and I'm not taking damage. Huh, I wonder what it feels like when I shoot them and they do take damage.
Well, yeah, overall it's pretty good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that top four game, Kaelin, really, I mean, so basically... yeah, Ryad, if she rolls one more paint, she lives. If Poe rolls one less paint, she lives. If Jess rolls one less... she was 4 for 4 on evades on that round that Ryad died, or the round before Ryad died. Like, there were so many things that could have gone... just go one die, really. What happened to you is what happened to me in Vancouver, BC a year and a half ago, where I, like... okay, there's one list I'm really worried about. It's Dengaru... I know BMF's bringing it. I'm going to bring Corrin. And I don't play a single Dengaru the entire time. I get to top four. He's there. He's waiting for me. It's like the stars had aligned. And then Dice like, nope, sorry. Not happening. Like, no. But I want to give a... yeah, that top four game was really good. But that guy you played, Matt, I was really impressed with him, Kaelin. Not only because he played well, but his composure was, like, really impressive to me. Because he was down against you. And then obviously he was down against Chris, and his like demeanor did not change.
No, he flew extremely well.
Yeah,
like, he made that call, and like he potentially bumped his own Poe to get the shot on Ryad in one of those rounds that to finish her off. So, like, no, he made some good calls there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he did give up, so that was good on him.
Yeah,
I didn't see him once tilt, so he went through.
Yeah. And he had every right to give up in that final game, because...
well, that's why I didn't bring Poe myself. The Ghost just looks like Poe, and it doesn't exist.
Yeah. So, I guess we'll move... well, I got to say, because I was talking with Corrin a bunch on the way... the long drive back, obviously. But, yeah, Kaelin, to fly your list for a year and a half, and then just say, man, screw it, I'm going to fly at Palp Aces... and then get top four at 111-man region. Like, that really, to me, showcases, like,
a deep, profound fundamental understanding of the game. Like, that was, and you guys tell me if you disagree. I would say that's going top four there would be harder than winning. No disrespect to Chris or anyone else is the one with that list, but I'd say that's harder than winning it. What would you guys say?
Harder than winning. So
winning with Kane and Finn
is, wait, winning with Kane and Finn is harder?
I would say getting top four with like a Palpaces list right now is harder than winning the same tournament with a Kane and Finn.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah, like, for sure.
So,
like, Kane and Finn, like, at this point, after you get to the cut, it becomes a harder game, but, like, you can just get to the cut on autopilot. Like, you don't have to play games. It's sad.
Yeah. So, this was the first time I'd really watched that list, like, in full effect, and I've always said that, like, if auto thrusters weren't a thing, TLT would be absolutely rampant, because apart from that one meta in Wave 8 when we had Torp Boats and Crack Swarm, like, to me, auto thrusters...
You mean the most beautiful time in the game?
Right. To me, auto thrusters is really the only thing that keeps TLT in check, and I've always said if auto thrusters weren't a thing, it would be rampant, and that's the world we're living in right now, in my opinion. Yeah. Like, watching that list, it became glaringly apparent just how difficult it is to keep your ace in a spot where his auto thrusters are active. Even for, like, as little as, like, two consecutive turns, like, any kind of semi-competent ghost player can get that ghost to a spot where you're in his arc at range 1 to 2, strip your focus, and just erase that guy from the board. And that's usually your one auto thruster ace, and then he just grinds down
the other one.
Grinds down the other two, and that's it. Yep. So,
yeah, and what, there's only three ships right now that are played a lot that can take auto thrusters. I mean, you've got the Silencer now, Poe, and
the Inquisitor.
And even Poe
isn't like an auto thruster ace when it's four TLT shots.
Yeah, because he's only got the two green dice, right?
Yeah,
so
I did the calculation just in my head. Like, you, that ghost list kills anything with two agility or less. You have to run three agility, or there's no point in flying agility.
You have to run three agility and pray.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was actually part of why I felt, you know, really good with the robots still, is because I'm like, okay, if I see a lot of Kane and Fens, screw it, I'll just walk them off the board. They can't go through all my tokens and auto thrusters that quickly, but of course I never saw a Fen either, so, or a ghost Fen, but I definitely saw the Kylo, though, the one boogeyman that I wasn't looking forward to seeing. I saw him, but yeah.
All right,
cool.
Well, is that it, Kaelin? Anything else?
Well, I guess there was another person at the regional. Blair, you were actually there. This is your first time marshaling.
How So I was a marshal. It was basically like the second tournament I've ever judged, and it was cool. It was definitely a learning experience. Kaelin, sorry, my cat's meowing. Kaelin gave me some good advice, but you know, I think the big thing people want from a marshal that I learned is they just want you to be concise, objective, and consistent, and like, there's no, like, you don't need to go up and try to convince anyone of anything. It's just your ruling, and that's it. But, yeah, definitely was a learning experience. So, here's one that came up that I messed up on, and the guy told me later he actually felt it kind of cost him the game. So, I felt bad about that. He was a really nice guy. Everyone up there in Canada is always super nice. But so, you guys...
Well, they have to be, right?
Right.
It's a prerequisite for going,
so,
living in Canada.
Ray Pilot says, when attacking or defending, if the enemy ship is inside your firing arc, you may re-roll up to 2-year blank results. So if a ship is within range 3 of Ray, but like the back part of the ship is in her arc, but at range 4, would you guys give her ability or not?
I would say no. Because it has to be within range and firing arc. It says both of those things, right?
No,
it just
says
within arc.
I'd have to
in
read
your
the card.
Firing arc.
It says just in your firing arc?
Yeah.
Yeah, then yeah, she gets it for sure.
Okay. I ruled she didn't. But then Jonas brought to my attention that there are ships that do specify range, such as Etana
Bot. Correct.
So, but I felt like I had to stick with it at that point, so.
Sure.
That was probably the big mess up that I had, but.
Is, well.
Do we know that for sure?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Did you ask any of the other judges afterwards?
Yeah. Is being in range a prerequisite to being an arc? I guess that would be the question, right?
Yeah.
Because, for example, like the flight assist, right? If you're not, although that does specifically say outside range, though. Oh.
Yeah. And most other ones always have that condition. It's just like Etanabot's ability specifies it because it's not him directly attacking, so they want to make sure he's in range to shoot that target to effect, use his ability, essentially. And Rey's ability only affects herself and only works when she's attacking or defending, thus she's in range to be shot. So it wasn't really a necessary need to specify a range to it, because she attacks at range 1 to 3. It's just one of those oddball cases where the ship, the closest points between each other is range 1 to 3, but it's outside your firing arc, but it's just in that weird area where the arc, you're in her arc at like just beyond range 3.
Yeah.
If you fought in the arc. It's just because she's a turret.
Yeah, the way I would look at it is, I guess the way that would kind of answer the question is, if you look at a firing arc as like this two-dimensional kind of cone, each of the range 1, 2, and 3 is just a different size of that cone. So if range 3 in arc is like the edge of that cone, you're technically outside it. Or is the arc just the lines literally projecting to infinity off the, you know, off the base of the ship? So
yeah, because I'd never... That had never come up for me with anything where, like, the line potentially goes to infinity. I never, like, heard of that, like, ever being a thing. So that's why I ruled. Yeah. But
yeah, it's a very small corner case. It does happen. I've seen it happen, like, maybe once or twice with Fen Rao at range 1. In arc, you'll be at range 2, but the shot between the two, each other is range 1. Let's say it's a turret shot. So
yep.
So he, if the ship's at range 1, but the shot's range 2, he still gets the additional bonus die, and also, like, with, if he's at range 1 in arc, but the shot's at range 2, because of weird angles, does he get, like, the protected starfighter? It's like all those weird ones with those ranges. And
yeah.
I believe it's in the FAQ, you do get it. It's one of those weird cases, so.
Yeah, the other big thing I ruled on, which, Tyler, you're probably well aware of this, but Palpatine and...
Mm-hmm.
Offensive rerolls?
Yep.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but I was told we're still, like, waiting on a ruling about that?
No. I mean, like, it's been ruled specifically one way. There is question whether that way is right or should be, but it has definitely been ruled pretty much by every major person that rules, as well as, I want to say, like, at Nova was done this way. But specifically... So, reading the card real quick. Once per round, before a friendly ship rolls dice, you may name a die result. So that's all the same. After rolling, you must change one of your die results to the named result. This is the same timing window as Heavy Laser Cannon. Like, after rolling, it doesn't say immediately, but it's after rolling. So it's during step 2 and step 4 of the timing chart, not 3 or 5, which is with the modification step. So you can't, call crit, roll dice, target lock all your blanks... and then decide which one you want to change to a crit. It's roll dice, move, like, make one of them a crit. That die can no longer be touched, then go on about modifying as usual.
Okay, so why does it... Where does it specify that it happens in the same timing window as HLC?
Because both of them say after rolling.
But tons of stuff say after rolling.
Does it?
Well, it's gotta be.
Well, I guess check something. A few. There's just, like, it's one of those weird ones, like, I always... Well, I guess Nish never assumed, but what I've always done with Heavy Laser Cannon was Heavy Laser Cannon was in the dice modification step. So if I rolled Heavy Laser Cannon, let's say I rolled crit, hit, blank, hit, and they allow the players to sensor jammer first before switching them all to hits. Because I've seen people before, and this could be a mistake, is you leave the crits, you re-roll, and then you modify all your crits to hits at the very end. Let's say if you want to avoid fire.
HLC is specifically right after rolling. Now, if you target locker, so because if you have any modifications that turn hits to crits, or if you use a target lock to reroll, any of those crits that come up stay.
Yes.
Like, it's only a one-time thing that they have to get changed after
course,
rolling.
Of course, but I was like, people are using it as advantage that you could you pick when you want to charge all your crits to hits, so you can do it the last if you wanted to, because it was a dice, essentially a modifier, and you pick the.
Sure.
Other.
Yeah. No. It's.
But this
it's
was
not.
Also, this was also learned back when we didn't have a attack timing chart, so.
Right.
It's
for
one
sure.
of those things. The timing chart, I guess, needs to be updated again with other outside activations.
So a lot of to give you an idea, not a lot of things say after rolling. They will say when attacking.
Yeah,
or of that, yeah, like it's when attacking or when defending, not after rolling. That's the big difference between the two.
So you say, so Palpatine then will have the same timing in defense as Lightweight Frame. Yes, because they're both after rolling.
Correct. That's why you can call Palpatine on the Lightweight Frame roll. Because it's not re-rolling a die; it's rolling a die. If that makes sense. And there's a specific AFAQ update about like how that all works, because if you call basically you can roll two dice, see what you get, roll your lightweight frame die and call Palpatine, but it has to be specifically only on that lightweight frame die. Like that's the only die that gets changed.
But I don't know if like frame is a good example, because that like specifically says you like roll the dice. Like I don't know why they, first of all, I don't know why they worded frame like that in the first place. Like I don't see why you couldn't have just said roll an extra green if your opponent rolls more red. But
I agree.
Yeah, I agree. It so should just be ruling, like increase agility, but yeah.
So we were talking about this two episodes ago, Tyler, where I was saying like some judge way out in Bumsville, like me, I don't go to Nova. So I don't know. I've never heard of these real. So I looked at modified attack dice step. It says, which comes right after rolling dice. It says roll attack dice, and then modify. And there's no window in there for which. And I looked in the FAQ and looked to where Palp was, and it didn't say anything about where it specifically falls. So my interpretation was it occurs during the attack modify attack dice step. So I said you can resolve it in any order you wish. So I guess.
That is what certain Palpatine players would like to have be the way it is. That's generally speaking not the way it is. And the big positive, so that there's a heavy negative benefit or a negative consequence to it, right? When like attack dice, like when you're rolling, like you're trying to add that crit in, it's just better if you can do it after all your other modifications,
yeah,
right?
It,
like
it
that
totally
makes
is.
Sense. Totally fine. On the flip side of that, things like Cad Bane, like you trigger before Cad Bane. So Cad Bane, and the other side of Palpatine is you can't modify the die after it's been touched by Palpatine. So if you roll like a Proxmine, I can call blank. One of my hits goes to a blank, then it can't Cad Bane that reroll, or they can't make me reroll that die.
Mm-hmm.
So he's still the best bomb defense in the game.
Mm-hmm. The only bomb defense in the game.
Yep, and the best.
By default.
Okay, so yeah. That was that.
Yeah. Yep.
Wasn't a whole lot else that really came up, so.
Well, I guess the other one was the Flight Assist X7 and Advanced Slab.
Oh, yeah.
Because of Stun Pilot. So the wording between the two, and I think on the secondary question form has been brought up, that does, if your template hits a rock, but your ship doesn't, does it count as overlapping? Stun Pilot says it does not, you don't take the damage, but the Advanced Slab FAQ now says overlapping an obstacle occurs when the maneuver template or the ship's final position overlaps an obstacle. Overlapping a ship occurs when the ship's final position would overlap a ship. So Advanced Slab specifies if your maneuver template hits a rock, you cannot use the Advanced Slab action, which has the exact same wording as X7 and Flight Assist. But in Stun Pilot, the only difference is they add obstacle token to the end of the overlap. So it's overlap and obstacle token. And that's the only difference between the two. And that's, they're both, so they, with Stun Pilot, you can fly over a rock, not take a damage, as long as you clear it. But Advanced Slam, you can fly over a rock, you can't get the action. So the question was, which way should go forward? Since the Advanced Slam shares the same wording as X7 and Flight Assist, I think we ruled to follow that way, because they all have the same wording. That's the Advanced Slab rules.
Mm-hmm.
I'd buy that.
Yeah. And that brought up a little bit, because the weird one was I was using Captain Yor of my X7 Defender, so I had 5K through a debris cloud. clear the stress. I'm allowed to take the action, but since my template overlapped the obstacle, I couldn't take the X7 evade. So I just got the focus for my action. I
sure.
My action, but,
that's fair.
But overall, it wasn't that bad because, well, I'm not stressed. And got in position.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me tell you, the one hard turn on a defender with Yor next to it is super good. No one sees that shit coming.
No, I managed to. I went hard two through a debris cloud to set up a rage one shot and just Yor didn't
nice.
Stress. I was like,
yep.
Oh, and I had expertise. So I just got the target lock. So hit target lock, focus shot, eat it. Couldn't get away. It was great.
Cool.
Feels good.
That's so that's learning new fun rules with Scruffy.
Yeah. So great run, Caleb. But I gotta say, man, that guy in the top 16, holy crap, did he ever punt you. Like, good lord. So this guy is running triple Wookiees, and I go away for like 15 minutes.
Stress control Wookiees? Like the...
It wasn't exactly Chris Allen's list. It was like... But it's Lowrick and two Liberators.
Yeah, the change was Predator was put onto one of the Liberators, and Lowrick has expertise. So they swapped out the expertise. Where who has Predator has expertise.
Okay, so pretty similar.
Fair enough. Sure.
And I go... I'm walking around the tables, you know, and I come back, and it's like the third turn, and they're literally like all range three of each other. And Kaelin is just, like, picking him. And I'm like, what? Are you, what? Like, how the hell does that even happen?
So let me guess. He didn't, like, know what to do when you were just like, okay, cool, Yor takes all the stress.
No, actually. So I did the whole Riad and Palp in a corner just bumping. I had a Grizzle hide in the back. So he had two... His two Wookiee Liberty stayed close and had done the center table. Lorik was about range two away off to the right of them, closer to my palp shuttle. And he saw me bumping, so he expected me to bump for a little bit longer. So when he turned Lorik away, he tried to use as a bait and had his other two come down the middle. I opened up with an Inquisitor, just went 5 forward and shot him at range 3. And because where Lorik was and the two Wookiee Liberators still had to go through the debris cloud to catch up, he couldn't get Lorik back in the fight, so he decided to run with Lorik. So Inquisitor was behind Lorik for 5 rounds doing 1 damage a shot.
Just 1 damage every round, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't have to use Palpatine or any of that, so I just clipped one shot. I did a total of 4 rounds of shooting. It was 3 shields and a direct hit. By that time, until the two Wookiees came in, and he's the only two tacticians, I managed to make it so he only got like 1 range 2 shot to either ship. And then I started picking apart with Riad and the Palp shell, just laying into one of them. And this is where Riad came around and 5K'd through a rock behind one of the Wookiee Liberators, where he didn't have the reinforce, and then the shuttle bumped the front of that Wookiee Liberator, so that Liberator had no shot. So the only shot he had was at the Palp shuttle. And I killed that Liberator, so he had one Wookiee that had 1 shield left, and Lorik opposite of the table getting chased by an Inquisitor.
And solid.
Yeah.
And then by the time that he did finish off Palp, but that time, Lorik had like 2 hit points left, and... His last two Wookiees were so far apart, it only took ever 1 tactician shot, and it's on Riad, who got to shoot first anyway, so it didn't turn off expertise.
There you go.
And then I just 5K'd to de-stress. So.
Right. Because reasons.
So it did keep the Palp shovel, but yeah, just Lork died, and then it just sat there and just killed the poor Wookiees. Yeah.
No, not poor Wookiees. They should feel bad, but it's fine.
Yeah. Like, I was a bit worried to start. Like, I thought he might have a plan. I was worried about him just charging all 3 Wookiees at the Palp shuttle in close formation, because that's probably the best
thing. He wanted to play X-Wing, Kaelin. He wanted to fan out.
Dude, that is
trying to, like, do maneuvers. He forgot he had triple Wookiees. He had NASCAR. You just hard left.
Yeah.
That's all you do the whole game. You just... It's all right. Okay.
That literally is the Achilles heel of that list, is people want to play the game. It's like, no, stop playing the game. You'll be fine, I promise.
Well, let's see. One person brought up, like, oh, man, I didn't see that many quad Wookiees. Why is no one playing it? Because people want to play X-Wing. Do you want to cast on the corner for 9 games in a row? No. No one wants to play.
God, literally. So, I mean, only Chris Allen wants to play that game. And I still, one of my favorite pictures in all of X-Wing is him against, I think it was when he was playing Nathan in like the right before the cut to the Swiss.
Yes.
Or the Swiss of Gen Con,
it
second
was,
day Swiss.
Yeah.
Nathan is like setting dials, and he's just castled in the corner, and he's not even sitting behind his stuff. He's sitting off to the side, just like eating Cheetos. Yeah. And someone's like, "Where's your opponent?" He's just like, "Oh, that's me." And he literally just set his dials down. And he's like, "Yeah, Nathan, let me know when I'll let you know whenever I decide I'm gonna move."
Yeah, we were giving him crap about it, and Nathan got to the point where he's just like, can you tell everyone just to leave? Because we were just like joking around with Chris, like just very blatant, because he was just eating, not caring. He's like, oh, I'll change my dials. I'll let you know when I'm going to change my dials.
He's like, I don't need to be here for this. Go ahead and get whatever position you want. Okay, well, we're like 30 minutes in-ish, and we had like new X-Wing news, right? Very specifically, it is 65 days. When you guys hear this, it'll be like 66 or 67. But when this news dropped, it was 65 days after the last time they announced anything from FFG.
Oh, FFG.
Coincidence?
Right? You knew what you were doing the whole time.
I'm going to at least assume they did. I'm pretty sure that's like lucky happenstance, but I like to think the best of FFG.
Yeah, they planned that shit.
No, you don't. No, you don't, Tyler.
We know otherwise.
Hold on, hold on. If any of you are listening, I love you guys. I would like my ticket to Worlds. After we get that, then we'll talk.
All right.
So, yeah, we had wave, what, 14? Is this 14?
Yes, this is wave 14. And Scum does not exist in it.
Well, okay. Like, let's take a step back. Everybody knows we're getting another Falcon, and it's going to be a Scum Falcon, and they can't announce it yet because the solo movie isn't out.
Yes.
It's fine. Scum players, hold your shit.
Yeah, you'll get a large base ship.
Yeah, you'll get it. Some people will have to buy their fourth Falcon. It'll be great.
You mean my fifth?
Sure, okay.
Because I bought two Heroes of Resistance, so I can have two Resistance sympathizers.
I'm sorry. Of course you did.
It's my own fault. I was laughing at this because my friend already owns four U-Wings, so he's going to have more.
You mean the expertise expansion?
The expertise.
You bought that four times?
Yeah, he has eight expertise. He's set. Mm.
I mean, if he wants to mail one of those to me, I would be really appreciative.
I mean, you could have three because, you know, of the triple Wookiee thing, but four? Who really flew four of them?
Right.
Or eight.
Or eight.
Sure, yeah, you don't need eight expertise. God. No, yep, sure can't use that, never mind. You made me think for a second. I was like, okay, how many Black Squadrons with expertise can I get? But yeah, so we have, what, the TIE Reaper, and then Saw's, what, Renegades?
Yeah.
Partisans? Renegades?
Partisan yeah. Back.
Yeah. So we got new stuff. We have a T-65 fix, right? Like, there's new fun T-65 cards. Woo, X-Wing. The game is called X-Wing. You can finally put your X-Wings on the table. All of you terrible people on the internet, you can rejoice. You can fly your crappy X-Wings again.
I can't wait. I'm just more excited that the box art has the X-Wing's wings are closed. So I'm just going to sit there and play it. Hopefully that the X-Wing's S-Wells actually work on the small model. And it's just going to play with those all day long.
Yep.
That also means, like, there's no way that they are actually paying money to have two molds of the same ship, so that means that if they do have, like, S-foils on the model, that they'll have to update all of the other previous X-Wing, you know, things with, you know, the new model. So you'll be looking at stuff on store shelves like, is this a new one or an old one? Is this a new one or an old one?
Yeah.
Well, you'll know, because, I mean, they list when they reprint, so...
Yeah, I mean, that'd be pretty awesome.
They won't do an X-Wing pre-print for a while.
It'd be awesome for all the X-Wings because S-Foils actually work.
Right. Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
I mean, we can all hope then they'll make the B-Wings S-Foils work and then the Star Vipers. After when the Star Vipers another upgrade.
The Star Vipers at least feasible. Like, the ones that people have done for those actually aren't that hard and they look pretty good. But
yeah.
B-Wing would be hard, I think, to be honest.
I want my sideways B-Wing.
Right? Fine, whatever. You can have your B-Wing.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want to it. I still don't care. It's a B-Wing.
the poor thing. It can't even turn past a large base ship.
Right. That's especially directed at you, Europe, and your Firestorm special. Stop trying to tell me that's a thing. It has a B-Wing in it. I don't believe you.
It's technically a thing, but is it a good thing? Is it a viable thing? Is it anything we should care about? But it is a thing.
No to all of those. So yeah, like what's in this expansion? So let's go with the everyone wants to talk about the X-Wings, it's fine. We'll get to the cool shit later. So what's in this pack? What do we care about? Anything big?
Anything good? Well, it comes with five Palsco one X-Wing pilots. The generics. So we're looking at probably 19-20 point generics. So five X-Wings is now a thing, and you brought up, well, this flight assist in there, so we can, and S-foils, so we're going to see some crazy Palskin repositioning X-Wings on the table.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to see what the point cost is going to be. Not like, because I want to fly them, well, I do want to fly one, but, because like, if they make them, because there's 5 pilot cards, so they're at least 20, but I mean, I feel like if they make them 20, like, that's kind of wishful thinking. Yeah.
They're bad if they're 20. Yeah, you could just say it. Because like,
everyone's, like, there's no way you're not going to take a 1-point droid, for, like, just for integrated alone. Yeah. Like,
not to mention the fact that that 1-point droid is flight assist.
Yeah. But
let's be real. It's they've got to be less than 20 because the Kyrixes were bad at 20.
Right.
Yeah.
And they got a huge buff, and they still suck.
Yeah. They're still not great by any means.
I want to say they probably actually are 20, but like they may like I think Tyler said earlier before we started that they might have a negative cost upgrade. Or whether titles or
so you've got the refit in there, like the Renegade refit. Like you can see the words in there. I'm guessing that reduces cost. I don't know what else it's going to do, but I'm guessing it reduces cost.
Yeah, and I wondered if it removes a slot to do that.
Removes the torpedo slot, probably, that no one uses on an X-Wing anyway.
I don't know, Will. Take that torp slot. I don't think it's even worth what...
Hey,
you need those proton torps.
Yeah, right.
I don't think the torps will be useful if they can have guidance chips, S-foils, and integrated astromech. If they can have all three of those, then you can have torps.
Yep, and the magical thing where you don't have to spend your lock on your torpedo shot, you know, that kind of thing. But
release a torpedo eventually that doesn't spend a target lock. It'd be the best musician.
They actually shouldn't. I really like that missiles don't spend locks because they're what are supposed to target fighters versus torpedoes, which for your larger craft, right?
Yes,
so
torpedoes should be
good.
The difference between two.
Yeah, they should be good against your like zero agility decimators and shit like that, or your epic ships. Great, and proton torpedoes are amazing against epic ships, by the way.
Plasma torps as well.
Both of them are really good.
But I think it'll probably be similar to the Chardon refit for the A-Wings, where it'll be a -2 cost. Because I think if I forget who was doing the math, if it was Major Juggler or whoever, but I think way back in the day they kind of approximated that the original X-Wing was 1 to 2 points over costed. So
Bob just said in our Slack today that he's got the rookie like.
16 and a half.
Yeah.
That's a little low.
That does seem a little low.
I don't believe that one, but
yeah.
You can have a TIE FO at PS3 or
okay. Well, I'm gonna ask you guys. So, what would it take for you to fly a rookie at like a regional? 18?
19 points.
Because 19 is where you're at.
That's 20 points. 19 is the 1 point in astromech integrated.
Yep. Plus, we're going to get whatever this S-foil thing does, which is just great.
Well, not talking about, like, forget this upgrade exists. Let's just say if rookies were 19, you would legit take them to a regional?
I think 5 rookies would be pretty strong.
I'll look into a list of them as filler and patient put them.
Okay.
Like, because, I mean, that's 5 attack 3 guns that reposition every turn. Like they can break away and get back in
with flight assist maybe
that's the thing
because if you get 3 PS2 X-Wings with flight assist that have 40 points left for Miranda or another ship
I've seen the people run 4 with like 4 BZ like new age 4 BZ right so it's 4 flight assist rookies and a Z and like that it's good like those X-Wings stick on targets now
actually with 20 points you can do the cheap Stress Ezra the Hera the Snapshot R3-2 Hera and 4 of these guys at 20 points
like are we talking just rookies exclusively or just like how much cost reduction on like all of the T-65s to fly them at
well it's just rookies specifically
just
like
rookies
the rest
now.
Of yeah
I would think everyone's right with the 19 points because then you can get flight assist on it and you
well that's
theoretically
that probably is going
to
be not the rookie it'll be the PS1 but still whatever
yeah
who cares
but it's an X-wing a low pilot skill X-wing right like PS1 versus PS2 you're kind of splitting hairs there. There's advantages and disadvantages. We've had that argument since wave one of X-Wing, which is better, PS2 or PS1. So,
sure.
That's what I'm looking at, that these PS1s are probably 20 points, and I think that refit's probably just minus 1 point. Did not affect, like, because Wedge Antilles and Wes Janson, like, can you imagine Wes Janson being at 27 points base? I guess it's not too crazy, but...
No, that's actually probably where he should be. that's
yeah,
my actually, point.
Yeah, I was about to say, we got Biggs at 23, but they got Biggs is nerfed, so it's not so bad.
Yeah.
Still good, but yeah.
Yeah, he's still fine. But, like, well, Wedge at 27, that actually is not bad for Wedge either, you know? So 2 points is where I've always thought they were overcosted by 2 points.
Tarn would be a great pickup now at 23 points with his astromech.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Tarn's good
yes.
at 25.
Yeah,
so
Tarn.
He's great,
sure.
But the Tarn is good. Minus 2 points. He's 23 with R7 or 24 with an M9G8.
Yeah, that's good.
That's a really good.
Ugh, that's dirty. He just target locks whoever shoots him and forces a reroll every time.
Yep. Yes. Yeah, I've tried to squeeze that into
hilarious.
My four. Yeah,
and
I've tried to squeeze that in.
Yeah, I got my friend to play that at last year's System Open. He did 3 Z95s, a Stress Hog, and M9G8 Tarn. You just target lock the Stress Hog to start, and you start shooting Tarn. He just starts nuking every one of your attacks and keeps his target lock to fire. And if you don't shoot Tarn, that Stress Hog gets a reroll on all 3 attacks. Yeah.
And gain a shield while doing it too.
Sure, yeah, and get a hit point back. And I was just like, all right, that's cheeky and good. I really like that.
Yeah.
It just baits, do you want to shoot my TLT or not?
Yeah, right, for sure. And there were people that didn't shoot him, right? Like, just like, okay, we'll just let that one go for a while because it'll keep him out of the fight. And then he just K-turns and doesn't care, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to shoot you 3 more times.
But related to the X-Wing, he also had a rookie with flight assist in there.
He did.
Well in that list, so... like, just in general, like, any list that you do have a T-65, even if it's, you know, Biggs, you know, or whatever the traditional X-Wing list, if you're able to save a point or two and get, you know, some new repositioning shenanigans, that's all really good, you know, for the T-65. One of the issues it's always had is the fact that it, you know, is limited by just its dial. It didn't have any repositioning available to it, so... The flight assist was obviously, I guess, stage one of the getting X-Wings, you know, some repositioning. And, you know, the S-Foils, you know, dual-sided card could be stage two. So I'm definitely intrigued, to say the least. I've wanted to put T-65s on the table forever, and this might be the way to finally be able to do it.
I know you... I think you gain a boost action with them closed, is what we can kind of see. And the S-foil opened. I can't really tell. It's got something to do with turns, though.
Yeah,
or not turns, but banks.
It is a talon roll.
Yeah, I think it's a talon roll thing, too. So you get access to barrel roll and then probably can talon roll if you choose,
sure.
You know, with the hard
it
turns.
It might be when you reveal the hard 3 talon roll, so something like the Millennium Falcon title.
Right.
Yeah, it could be.
Resistance title. Yeah.
Which would be actually really, really cool, like on Wedge and Wes, like at PS10, too. Like, just not only do you get, like, the flight assist to keep things in arc, but then you could be like, oh, well, I'm trying a hard 3. Oh, crap, you did something I didn't expect. Well, now I can turn that into a talon roll, and I still got you, you know, in arc, you know, or whatever.
Right.
So.
Yeah, man, that's actually really good, because it's either you either do a 180 or you take the turn, and then you boost with the flight assist.
Or barrel roll, yeah.
Sure, but I mean, like, to keep your arcs and whatnot.
Exactly. So, like, the list that I'm actually kind of intrigued to try is Wedge and Wes at PS10 with flight assist and S-foils and refit, and, you know, the two either rookies or PS1s or whatever you can fit. Like, so you get 2 low PS1s and 2 high PS1s that are annoying as shit. And see how that works. Because Wedge and Wes as a combo is really good. It's just I haven't found anything that, one, fits next to them that I like, and two, they're still X-Wings that died all the bullshit
right.
out there.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
But Wedge and Wes, just as a concept, is a really good combo, you know, to pair up. That's not... That's been the case since, you know, Wes came out, you know, like way back in Wave 4.5 or whatever it was. But it's just, you know, one of those things where it's hard because they're T-65s and you're always gimped because they're T-65s.
If you want to try, you can do it right now. I'm just fooling around with this as a fun list. You can do Adaptability, Flight Assist, Wes, Predator, Flight Assist, Wedge, and Veteran Instincts, Ray Crew, Flight Assist, Nora Wexley.
Oh, yeah, I've never tried the arc with it, to be honest. I tried fitting in a 10 num to get them all at PS10 and get free crits through and stuff, but that's a B-Wing, so that's even worse. Tried Nim, but you
with
know.
With Ray Crew, you get the focus that she needs. You just target locks your actions. You got the double actions, and she sits at a nice cheap 33 points at PS9 arc. It's not actually that bad if you have.
Yeah.
It's not bad at all.
Well, who we got here?
Who's this guy?
Yeah, who entered our boiler room? Who boarded through the ducts?
I'm the ominous voice broadcasting you to the world live.
Ooh.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
What's going on, buddy? For everyone that doesn't know your sultry voice, this is Dion from Gold Squadron Podcast.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Have you recovered from that beating that I gave you, Dion, in Indy? Because that was pretty filthy.
The smack talk is real.
You know, I seriously was debating for League Night this week. I'm not able to make it tomorrow because it's Valentine's Day. So, reminder, Valentine's Day.
Bro, this won't go out before tomorrow. Bro.
Well, I mean, this...
This is relationships, poor relationships.
But he's live.
Right. Well, this is live now. So...
Are you actually Twitch streaming it live?
Yeah, I'm totally Twitch streaming right now.
Oh, nice. Even better.
Sweet.
Yeah. But I pulled out my robots, and I'm planning to unleash that hell on somebody else. So it's going to be great.
Sweet. I always love it when I inspire chaos.
You should record it and send it to Jesper. He would get a kick out of that.
I'm sure he would. Me playing robots badly. It's going to be great.
What were you flying at Indy?
Two boats in Kylo.
Okay.
And my boats never did more than a one forward after engagement. It was great.
I mean, that's that's pretty much how our control works, right?
It was pretty awesome. And then I caught your Kylo and made you walk him off the board.
Yep.
Dirty. It's a terrible feeling. So I've played that list a few times as well, like locally, and it's a great feeling when your opponent suddenly realizes that like they're just one forwarding for 5, 6, 7 turns, like however much life they have left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Feels bad, man.
It sure does.
But I never saw a ghost, because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to walk silly Kanan just right off the board.
Yep.
I guess since we're live, since some of them haven't heard this, but Nate, I believe Renegade Refit is for the T-65.
Yeah, for
T-65
sure.
T-65 only.
Yeah.
I don't think it's U-Wing. We'll put it that way. It could be U-Wing. Like, give it to him. We haven't got to that point, but like,
yeah.
Is the U-Wing still bad, guys? Like, it's still bad, right? Like, there's nothing in this that we see that, like, we even remotely care.
Yeah. I guess bad is a relative term. It's just bad because it's way overcosted. Like, if that thing costs, like, 25 points base, maybe then it'd still be pretty good.
It's 23 points base.
Yeah.
What if one of those titles gives it, like, a minus cost, though?
Sure. Well, that's the idea. I think everybody thinks the refit is going to be negative something, just like Chardon.
If the refit does say T-65, X-Wing, and U-Wing, then that's maybe not so bad. That's the only way I can see the U-Wing invented. The only issue is, like, the two crew slots can't be really utilized on it. All the Rebel crew help the ship it's on. You got the Ghost with the double crew. Double crew. So what's the U-Wing?
I mean, there's a few of them that can help others, but not a ton. I mean, you're right.
The best use I saw was for, I think, Blair did it in a team tournament. We did 75 points each, and it was a U-Wing with Janor as an operations specialist behind the list.
Sure, yep.
So triggering out, and he had a bunch of swarm leader snapshot A-Wings and Jess Pava. So
do we think, is the Renegade refit going to take up the torpedo slot? Like the Chardon refit is the missile slot?
I mentioned that. I don't know if it necessarily has to, but I don't think anyone would miss it.
Right.
Who's really putting a proton torpedo on an X-Wing?
Ion torpedoes, bro. That's where it's at.
Ion torpedoes are really good.
I agree. That's a solid card. I'm just saying no one, you know, brings chips because then you sacrifice, you know, integrated, and without integrated, they're even more fragile, which they just melt to anything. Yeah. So
I don't think you will lose it integrated in any way. So I think this is like a torpedo slot, or if for some reason it's a mod slot, it's going to let you take another mod slot.
Yeah,
for sure.
If that's the thing where then you can take integrated plus chips and a torpedo, then maybe. But
then you're just putting a lot of points in a T65, which I think that's the problem. You want to get points off a T65 to make them viable.
True. If you had integrated and chips, I could see some use for that Alpha Wes Janssen or a Wedge, because there are people who are using that temporarily, not even putting integrated, just flight assist their BB Wedge with the plasma torp beside Aaron Kraken and Nim. They get that alpha off, but
yeah, that's a weird corner case, because even in those lists, I would argue that that's putting too many points into one of those baskets. Like, yeah. It's an interesting alpha trick, and then after that, I don't think that thing could survive, right? Like, if you don't manage to hit with those, you know, three ordnance, you're dead, because what else are you going to do right?
Aaron Kraken does nothing. They just focus on Nim. But exactly. Wes Janssen with flight assist, and even just without integrated, when I was using with chips, I tried it out. Like, if you have any initiative or higher pile skill with Wes, he just keeps on that target stripping tokens.
Yeah,
it's really good.
I did mess around, like, a little bit with the Wedge-Wes, you know, flight assist combo, both of them at PS10, and I had a lot of fun with it, and I really liked it, and, you know, Wes being able to, you know, take locks off or strip tokens off or whatever, it's one of those really good, subtle combos that I don't think a lot of people appreciate, you know, or at least a lot of newer players don't appreciate, because they just look at a T65 and laugh, or, you know, they've never actually seen Wes on a table, right? He does have a lot of subtle control that, both offensive and defensive, because if you're taking mods away, he can't get hit very easily, you know, that type of thing. And if you just take a lock away, well, now they can't fire that missile or whatever, you know? So I really like it. I'm just trying to find that right little combo that makes it work and not have a meta that's full of bullshit to just nuke everything. So,
hey, just
sorry, go ahead.
You're good. So, a little random tidbit. I don't know if you guys have touched on this, but I want to let you guys know that Marcel's card is in this spread.
So I saw that on Facebook. We don't know what the card is, but we know it's here.
I'm guessing it's not the S foils or the refit. Because those don't seem like that would be something they'd give to Marcel. So I'm guessing maybe it's Saw Guerrera crew.
I think it's got to be like that targeting. Oh no, it's maybe Scrambler. I don't know. It could be Saw Guerrera or a pilot.
Another,
we don't know.
There's another crew there. Rebel only. We have no idea what it does yet. And we still have that other hidden card in the back that thrust something.
It's a card in the spread, and I'm excited for it. That's all I'm allowed to say.
Okay.
You're probably not even allowed to say that, but
I can be excited. I can be excited about anything I want to. Nobody can stop my excitement.
No, that's true. No one's
going to be allowed.
FFG doesn't control your emotions.
Okay. So that's been a bunch of talk about and the other problem is, like, FFG, I gave you how to fix the U-Wing. I've told you this from the get-go. All you had to do was take away its forward firing arc and give it broadside arcs, and everything would be great in the game.
Yeah.
But you failed to do that twice now. So,
and no, I can't let this go without, where the hell's the K2SO pilot and or crew? That is a huge red flag.
Like, did Alan Tudyk kick somebody's puppy that works for Disney?
Like that is the only explanation at this point. Like, that dude's a better pilot than Cassian Andor showed in that entire movie, and he doesn't even have a pilot guard.
They're gonna save it. The K2SO just expansion pack by himself.
Sure. I would buy that.
At this point, I would be perfectly fine if they just took all of Sabine's cards and just turned them into K2SO. That would be a much more preferable option to me than just seeing Sabine in like 12 things.
Yeah.
Hell, I would even use the Sabine crew if it was actually K2SO, because I'd laugh.
Then you wouldn't feel
I'd
be as bad.
Like, yeah, I'd laugh, because I'm like, hey, K2SO is blowing things up. This is cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've talked enough about the terrible Rebels and the stupid crap that they're going to get, and how I'm going to have to deal with five, like, PS1s that can dance all over the place while getting focused still, like Sunterfell, and have 6 hit points. No,
I just
not.
Have
it's
to
be,
laugh
it's
that we
stupid.
Took... We talked about the U-Wing for all of, like, 30 seconds, because
no one cares about the U-Wing.
No,
it's fine.
The poor thing.
So the real expansion that got released, or got announced, is the TIE Reaper. And this thing looks
Palp Shuttle 2.0?
Fun. Yeah, it is the Palp Cadillac, thank you very much. or the Palp Caddy.
Hold, let me jump on Photoshop. I'll get it started. Let's see.
It's the Palp Caddy. So I mean, we've got the Doom Canoe for Vader riding in a bomber. So you've got the Doom Caddy or the Palp Caddy, and then you get the full-on shuttle.
What are you going to call the Krennic boat or whatever?
Dude, Krennic's so good. Like, yeah. Oh, man. Like, all right, for everyone that doesn't know what we're talking about, Director Krennic is 5 points, one crew, and basically at the start of the game, you get to give his condition to a friendly Galactic Empire ship with 3 or fewer shields. So that means none of your First Order stuff. Yep, so no Kylo getting an extra shield, no Kylo getting this, no FOs, no SFs. Sad. And also doubly no bat shuttles. Fine.
Is it 3?
Yeah.
Is it 3 or fewer or fewer
than
3?
No, it's 3 or fewer.
Okay, so a defender.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So now what this does, it gives you the optimized prototype condition, which the start of this is just increase your shield value by 1, which is really good. You absolutely 30. Can stack that with shield upgrade if you wanted to. Give yourself like a 5 shield defender.
Now, would that be able to? Because the shield, you start with 4 shields at the beginning of the game.
So that's possible.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah. Okay.
That being said, you could have Suterfell with a shield upgrade and this, not 2 shields.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. But then the first paragraph we get to see, we don't get to see what the second paragraph is once per round, when performing a primary weapon attack, you may spend one die result to remove 1 shield from the defender. So you could spend a blank. You could spend a focus. Now, there's a couple of caveats here. It is once per round, so anybody that could have, like, a gunner effect where you're shooting multiple times, you're only going to get to do it once. You can't do it twice if you miss, or to 2 separate people, that kind of thing. Same thing with, like, a TLT, right?
It's primary weapon only, so you can't do that.
Oh, sure, okay, primary. Perfect. Even better.
Yeah, so you have, the aggressor doing 2 room shields from across the table.
Right.
Out of arc.
Well, still, once per round, so couldn't do it either way. Presumably there's some drawback to this card, because there's no way they're going to, like, let me give a shield upgrade and a damage buff to just, like, another ship for just a crew member. So,
he does
5
cost...
points in a crew.
Yeah, it's 5 points, though.
Well,
yeah, so,
but
I mean,
he's 1 more point more than a mod, and you're not taking up the mod of the ship you're giving it to.
Yeah. True.
Like, that's really
powerful. Right now, it just seems, like, absolutely terrifying if you're using that on Whisper, but... in a meta that Whisper doesn't melt, but you know.
Does it, though?
You're making her hit ridiculously hard. Well,
Whisper needs to hit, so...
Yeah, I guess that was my question. So taking a shield is not hitting.
That's correct, and you're removing a die result.
For me, it's like on Vader, because he's not re-rolling anyway, so there's a good chance...
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, no, yeah, that...
And
yeah.
He's going to push in crits through with the ATC.
Yep.
So, no, Vader's, like, the first.
Are you kidding me? My list is, like, 2 of these stupid things. One has Palp on it, the other has Krennic, and they're both just, like, tossing buffs to Vader. Just solo. It's Vader against the world. Let's go, baby.
Yeah. Any ship that doesn't have any rerolls you're not going to use, it's really good.
Yeah. These things do? They're jamming everything. And if you get close to them, they're jamming you for days. And then you just have 7 jam tokens on you, and you can never take actions again. It's great.
The thing I like about it, they have the evade action. So
they do.
Pop shuttle with evade.
Yep. Have we confirmed? Have we confirmed whether or not that jam is like the epic jam, or is it going to be like jam to receive a jam token?
We haven't confirmed that, but it comes with jam tokens in the box. So
And I'm sorry, but if they started giving a small base ship that could carry Palpatine epic jam in the 100-point game, like, I'm table
so
flipping
in.
Everything.
I'm
like,
so
this
in.
Is stupid.
Give it to me now.
No, like,
it's great.
Like, I play Imperial just as much as I play anything else, but no, like, that...
I'm fine.
Like, no.
Everyone brings your, it'll be great.
Good lord.
It'd be your in these things. That'll be the list.
Yep. So, I mean, we got some cool stuff in there. We also have Death Troopers. I think Death Troopers are, like,
they're
not
unique,
bad.
Unique, I think.
They are, yep.
Yeah. They are unique, you only bring
one. They take 2 crew. They were. So, this, how silly was, like, 4 of these? Like, 4 with Death Troopers flying towards you.
When I first looked at it, I didn't see the unique, so I was like, why not just take 3 of them? You shoot at one of my guys, take 3 stress.
Yeah,
and
yep,
I also didn't see the double crew, so I thought you could put them and Rebel Captive on it, kind of thing. But
no,
right? How good would this be? It'd be great. It's fine. I don't see any.
No, you definitely saved it, because I'm like, this is gonna be bullshit, and then I'm like, oh, okay, double crew. Okay, I can breathe easy now.
Yeah,
doesn't do anything to solve the ghost problem, but you know.
You can do Death Trooper and Rebel Captain on a Decimator. It would be a waste of three crew, but you can do it.
Ah. But like, I mean, talk about a Biggs, right? Like, this is what a lot of people wanted Biggs to be changed to, right? Like, if you didn't shoot Biggs, you got stress.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, now if you don't shoot our Biggs, you get stressed. Okay. And has the potential to, you know, stress out the entire list. It's not like a once per round kind of thing, right? Like, it's anytime someone else gets attacked, you take stress.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought it was once per round. Oh, my God.
No.
Yeah, thankfully, they can only go on three things, right? The Decimator, the TIE Reaper, and the Palp Shuttle, right? So
and the TIE Bomber.
Does a TIE Bomber have two crew?
Sure does.
The TIE Shuttle has two crew.
And it's not expensive.
No, like, you can get 18 points.
Right?
Lightweight frame for 20.
Sure, whatever.
Oh, what keeps you from putting Palpatine on that bomber, then?
You can't have over 4 points.
That's what it is. Okay.
Yep.
That's why I forgot it had two crew, because I was like,
you can't put Krennic
on
there either.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Okay.
One thing I'm actually reading the Death Troopers, so after another Fellowship at range one becomes a defender, if you are inside the attacker's firing arc at range 1-3, the attacker receives one stress token. So the issue with Death Troopers, if you're chasing down a turret, Death Troopers is nothing. They have to stare at you.
Sure. No, like, Death Troopers aren't actually going to do anything because everyone's a turret, so it doesn't really matter.
So maybe a bomber is the best place for you. Use it, low PS bomber. Excuse me, blocker. You just get it in the way.
Wait, what is Zach getting pissed about?
What isn't Zach getting pissed about?
I love you, Zach.
Are we still talking about Jam? Is this why he's still mad?
I think
like,
so.
It's fine. No one
I was
cares
just wondering.
Jam.
I was just wondering. I was just wondering whether it was Epic Jam or not, because literally the symbol is exactly the same. There's nothing different.
It's fine. Yeah. Zach just wants to pile a whole bunch of stress on stuff because, you know, he has a weird fetish with stress tokens.
Maybe he'll come play. He'll come to come back to Empire. It'll be fine. Blair, what do you think of this? Would you run multiples of these?
The Death Troopers?
No, the Reaper in general.
What? Let me look at the stat. I haven't looked at it.
3162.
Yeah, 3162, Focus Evade, Jam, two crew, some of them have elites. The dial looks like maybe shuttle-ish. The R2 red, but there's a title it has, the Advanced Ailerons, we're guessing it's called.
Yeah.
It's going to be something like them. Like,
yeah, because you treat your reds maybe as whites, and then if you are stressed, if he doesn't, I'm not sure.
So it's not the same ailerons, it's a different aileron specifically for this. Okay.
Correct.
So it probably helps you move around the table. It removes the reds temporarily while you're not stressed.
Is there
new crew in there? Or two? Well, I guess Krennic, Death Troopers, and there's two of one card. I guess it's Tactical Officer.
Yeah,
and
Tactical
there's
Officer.
ISB Officer, I'm guessing. And then there's a new...
I don't think it's Officer. It's something else, but yeah.
Our Agent? ISB Agent?
It looks like an S being the first letter. But sure, whatever. Doesn't actually matter, right?
And then there's I'm guessing maybe an elite pilot talent. There's Decoy, and then one I think... I'm not sure if the mod or a... it's unknown. It's multi-something camouflage. Maybe multi-spectrum camouflage.
Yeah, multi-spectrum would be my guess. And even small... It's small ship only. Okay, I'm in. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But that'd be interesting to see what that small ship. It has more text, so small ship only. It might have another restriction on it.
Sure.
Could it be a missile? It kind of, the art kind of looks like there's a like an curve.
I think it's avoiding a missile. No, yeah. I think that is like a shield around something.
Yeah, it doesn't like have a missile slot, ship. Right? So.
Yeah.
But and it is unique. Multi-spectrum whatever is unique. Yeah. So
kind of like experimental interface kind of thing.
Yeah, it could be. Could be an interesting mod. Oh, and like even the PS6 guy seems cool. Like, if you're shooting people that don't have tokens, he can change a focus or a blank to a hit. That's not bad.
Yeah, that's really good.
If he's the only one with an EPT, or if the other named one has an EPT, it would be nice, because, like, you could put Lone Wolf on this thing, and then Palp, and then, like, lightweight frame, and now he's super hard to kill. Like, that's fun.
Gosh, that would be annoying.
And taking an evade every turn. Oh, man, so good.
Evader jam.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
And... you can. It's got the system slot on it, right?
It does not.
Oh, no, okay. No. So I was gonna say you could put the 0 point
targeting scrambler.
Yeah, sure. The targeting scrambler on it too. Oh, that's on the U-Wing. Oh, that's why. That's on the U-Wing. Okay. Yep. The U-Wing, the ship no one will fly.
Now, one thing with this jam action coming out, do you... Well, this is a wide one, probably is a no, but do you think Opportunist has a purpose?
With jam?
Yeah, with jam in the game.
I mean, so we don't see Opportunist when we have other ways of stripping tokens already.
Yeah. It's too expensive.
Well, and the stress portion of it also sucks a whole bunch for a lot of things that could make use of it. So,
I mean, it's devastating maybe. Effect, but too expensive and too much of a detriment when you got the stress to pile on.
What is really crazy, though, is like you, in theory, well, there's no way you won't. You can fit four of these in a list, right? Like,
if we're assuming the points cost of the base one is
20.
Unless they pointed these like the Resistance Bomber, where there's only a 3-point difference between all of them.
Even if there is, you can still get four of them, right? Because the highest pilot is only 26.
Definitely take four.
Yeah, so just like, think about just rolling up with these things and stacking, here's your four jams on somebody, like on the initial joust. You don't have offensive nearby. Actions for a while. Yeah, yeah. Sure.
You stack four jam on Suderfell. He cries.
All right, gentlemen, I'm gonna jump off here. I gotta keep doing my show. I love you guys though.
See you,
I love you too, Dion.
Thanks, Dion. I'll see you this weekend, dude.
Have fun.
Yeah, we'll see you this weekend.
Wait, what? Where are you going this weekend?
Portland.
Yeah.
Got the system open.
Dion, what are you? Man, I hope you're getting frequent flyer miles, man.
Listen. Trouble. I do this for the community. I do it for the people.
Oh, I'm aware. And I'm just saying, like. Stack up them frequent flyer miles, maybe steal a little bit of Patreon money and take your wife on a nice vacation for her letting you just fly all over the country to like give us X-Wing.
It's definitely, she's walking right next to me right here. Right, honey?
Yeah,
you want me to take you on a trip somewhere, right, with all this frequent flyer miles?
And don't go to Australia to go cover one of their regionals.
No, I'm not.
Or do.
I don't know if I can afford that quite yet. We'll work on it.
Small aside with Australia. Actually had an Australian player at Vancouver Regionals here in BC.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. Who was it?
I think Michael Turner was his name. He had one person over here, Sean White. He was part of the Onyx Squadron. He actually moved to one of the outlying towns of British Columbia. And you're a big
you mean the guy...
I was like, you mean our like multi... Like gold medal snowboarding winner,
the guy who just won the gold medal tonight.
Oh, did he win again?
Morning or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. So
talking about Mountain Dew, baby.
Yeah, no, it was great. He was actually up here, I think, doing business or just vacation. He's like, oh, there's a regional happening, so he stopped by, and he flew back on the right after the event. It's pretty cool.
So there were actually two guys there from Australia, Kalen.
Yeah, the other one lives here though. He lives out in the boonies.
Oh, okay.
The other one was traveling.
They both knew the Fosses.
Yeah.
And both had beat them before, and both said they were extremely salty when they lost.
that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
So what I'm waiting for is an opportunity where an X-Wing event lines up like with an extended vacation time for me, that way I can take my wife. Like I think that's the plan. Like stream for 2 days, and then, you know, vacation for a couple. So
oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Look, waiting for that. Yeah. All right, gentlemen, I'll talk to you later. Have a good night.
All right, see you, Dion.
Bye, Gold Squadron. All right, only partially invaded. But yeah, like I mean, I think this is gonna be really good. Like I think this ship opens up options for Empire that we didn't have. We just didn't have a effectively non-bad two crew small base ship. Like everyone else had lots of these things. They're like, well, I guess Rebels had lots of these things.
Well, the other thing about Empire is Empire never really had any kind of good control platform.
No, yes, that was I was getting there.
Yeah, they've got Rebel captive on stuff, and you know, tactician they can use. But yeah, that's about it.
So really. we never had a good tactician carrier. Like we just. You know what I mean? Like, we just didn't.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have a small base tactician ship. We have a fire spray, but they're just bad.
Yeah, and that's the only crew on it that's so valuable.
The right. Bomber shuttle, you know, for 16 points or whatever it is.
So the problem with that, like, so, I mean, it's an 18-point bomber that's not actually hitting. So most everybody else's stress control pieces still cause damage or cause lots of stress.
Yeah.
We don't have access to that anyway.
Yeah, yeah that's just the one.
With Ezra now being dirt cheap as well, you have extremely cheap,
for sure.
Multi-stress coming up.
And efficient, right? Like, he's hard to kill. Like, he, yeah.
You had like Mara Jade crew, which only again does one stress and it's kind of situational. And is it like the Bat Shuttle title?
Yeah,
or whatever?
The Upsilon title is fantastic, so, but yeah, like so it's the,
it's on an Upsilon shuttle though.
Sure,
so
it's the
hard
same
to
problem.
Put on the table.
It's the problem of like all three of those. So Rebel Captive, Mara Jade, and the Upsilon title are all really great stress pieces, but none of them are you actively doing the stress basically. And outside of Rebel Captive and them making a mistake, you're not getting multiple stress on something. Like, it's only ever one. And that's... You can play around one stress. Like, it's... Five of these guys roll up and jam you up. Like, literally and figuratively. Like, what do you do? You don't have offensive mods for the rest of the game.
Yeah. And jam's really good on a jouster.
Right.
Because, yeah, a lot of times you take that action, you get arc dodged, or you can't hit a token stacked ace... That action is essentially wasted. Jam, you know, you're getting the action. The only problem is what Kaylin and I were talking about this weekend is really out of like all the best lists we've seen over the last 2 years or so.
Everybody uses like, passive mods?
Everyone gets passive mods. Those are always the best lists.
So Jam takes away target locks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like that's the positive, right? Like is you don't get to have like it stops ordnance. Like
unless you're the PS1 and they roll up after you move.
Sure,
no, but jam is a persistent token. It doesn't get discarded. So if you put if they have no token on them, you jam them. The next action has to reward that jam.
Yeah.
So yeah, but it doesn't stop the alpha is the thing. If they have a big alpha.
Right,
sure.
It doesn't stop the alpha if you don't range control properly, like range control well. Like we don't know how fast these things are.
If these things have a B-wing dial, like,
sure,
they're not range controlling crap.
No, that's fair. Worse than a B-wing dial. The hard two is red, so.
Oh God.
Well, yeah, but they can still be fast, right? We don't know that they're slow.
Straight line fast. They're just not turning. We also don't know the range of the jam action is going to be.
Sure, it's 1 to 2 in epic, but hopefully it'll be 1 to 3.
It probably
skip
to 1 to 2.
I think they would stick it 1 to 2 because that's what the coordinate range is.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the dream, though, right, is like you 5 forward and jam stuff and then they run into you. So, like, not only are they jammed, but now they're not getting actions like next turn or the turn after, maybe. Mm-hmm. So, the thing that sucks, though, right, obviously, is passive mods. So, like, does this do anything to. Like, you absolutely could stick like 10 jam tokens on my rack and I probably don't care.
Same thing with Kanan, really.
Right. Oh yeah.
I mean, I guess he can't boost, but
Kanan it sucks because Kanan wants focus to null your attack.
Sure, but at the same
Lothal just loses the Lothal.
Yeah, the
Lothal loses
right.
The evade token. That's it. It is one damage negated, but that's not too bad.
Well, but also like Kanan generates 4 focus a turn anyway, half the time, right? Like so he actually can bleed all these jam tokens down. Same thing like jamming up Soontrafel would suck. Right? Like, oh, I have to chew 3 jam tokens a turn for this shit to stick. And unlike stress, it doesn't stop you from repositioning, right? So it's not as good as stress control, because they can still K-turn, they can still boost barrel roll, do all that shit. They just don't have mods when they're shooting
you. This will make Poe cry.
Oh, yeah. Super. Yeah, absolutely. Are you kidding me? Like, I don't have to take Hot Cop anymore? Great.
No, these are going to make Poe just cry.
I mean, same thing with, like, anybody that runs Optics, right? Like, quick draw?
Yeah,
super
quick
doesn't
draw,
want to see this shit.
Especially ships that require FCS.
Oh,
you can start clearing them, and every shot will clear a jam token, but you just keep removing those FCS target locks.
2 of 3 of these people, and they just roll up and triple jam quick draw? Like, talk about the saddest quick draw ever.
Well, like, even actually, look at it, if you really get capitalized, you can just jam up an X7 defender and just get an opportunity to kill it. You can make Vader sad. He has 2 actions, but you stop his target lock. Omega Leader cries.
I mean, holy crap. So you can, man, for under 30 points, I can have a Hot Cop Gunner jamming PS1.
Yeah.
Everyone's Fen now, boys. I can bring 3 of them if I want to.
Actually, if you want to go to, you can do Hot Cop Major VI and up to 8. Shoot quite early.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I guess stripping at PS1 doesn't really make sense. Never mind.
No.
Now I'm sad. But sure, fine. I get 1 of them. 1 of them at 8.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah. So I think...
No, I got this. No. I'm putting Decoy on the sucker and I'm flying VI Vader next to him. Decoy it up to 11.
Shoot first, hot cop, jam.
It's perfect. No,
yeah.
I honestly
we did
think
it, boys.
What's
we did it.
I honestly think what's probably gonna really kind of make or break and see like how viable or how critical it's gonna be to be able to put this on the table is kind of what its dial looks like and what that Ailerons title does for it to allow it to move around and get places. So the jam doesn't necessarily need, you know, to have stuff in arc, right? But if you're trying to, you know, use it offensively or, you know, use the death troopers or whatever, you kind of do need to get the arc around and get it to places that it needs to go. So that's the one thing that keeps the Lambda shuttle in check, relatively speaking, is you can't really do much with it. Like once it gets past a certain point and stuff gets behind it, you're never getting that stuff not behind it unless you've got other stuff in your list left to you know, mitigate it. So
yeah, but this actually has a benefit over that in the sense that, like, even if this had like a Lambda shuttle bad dial, right, like we're saying it's the worst dial in the game, okay, the Lambda shuttle has the problem of after it gets past people, it like it's in theory never turning around, right? Like if they position themselves accordingly, that you can never shoot it again. This guy is still being a threat in the sense that he's jamming people. Like you could just use the jam token every turn,
yep.
And like that's still being effective.
And I want to say, being a small base ship, I don't think it's gonna be like Wookiees where they don't have a K turn. I think this thing will have a K turn.
Yeah, I hope this has like a bomber-esque K turn of like a 5K, like just like get out, scream forward, flip over, come back around.
Even if it doesn't, right, if that Aileron's title gives you like a one bank or something and then you could still, you know, do the two hard turn, that still hooks it around pretty darn quick. Granted, you're stressed and depends on what's green to clear the stress the next turn, but you can still hook around in a very quick period of time compared to a Lambda shuttle, which is never turning around effectively, like you said, because its only turn is red and, you know, you're doing that every other turn and, yeah, you're just never getting back in its arc.
Do you know what I think the advanced ailerons allows you to do? It might actually cost points, but it looks like you treat your something maneuvers as something else, but I think it treats your reds or whites as green. It says immediately before you really dial, if you're stressed, you can do a white something. So you might be able to do red maneuvers while stressed, but they're only like white.
No, I mean, it's probably... It could be just like if you're not stressed, immediately before you're missing not stressed, then you get to like pre-boost, basically.
Yeah, yes.
Which would be super good. Man, would that be awesome on these things. Yeah, like, catch my palp shuttle now.
Yeah, if it does have the free boosting, like the adaptive ailerons, then I'm guessing this dial is going to be similar slow to the striker. So, 3 speeds fastest forward, but if it has free boost, that's 5 forward anyway.
Right, yeah, that's a 5 forward.
Yeah, no, that would actually make it faster than... I guess I would assume, because like if it is the same effect as the Aileron's title, I mean, this thing being able to effectively go 5 straight, it's a little bit crazy. Like, especially if you're thinking of it as a primary like kind of transport support ship.
Yeah,
but
they might make that 3 straight red on it then.
So maybe
So you go 4 forward as normal. That's relatively in line with everything else.
Well, yeah, sure. that would be
same speed that the shuttle goes now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that would be what I was kind of assuming, but I guess
we'll
see.
At least move the arc twice. You can do bank-bank or bank turn.
Do kind of like the weird little cheeky S-turn kind of things to shuttle your, or shuffle your arc around.
No, I'm really excited for this tie reaper and seeing what it can do.
Yeah, it is a tie, so it can take lightweight frame. It's a tie, so it can take the tie mark 2?
Yeah, twin ion engines.
Yeah, twin. So like that could actually be really good on this thing. Like if its dial is bad, man, open up a bunch of greens on this thing.
Yep.
It's got system officer, right? Like you can do like the system officer, plus the other one that gives target locks.
Yeah.
So
you can do fleet
officer and system.
Yeah, for the focus actions. Tokens.
I still think like your sweet spot in a list is like, I think you'll have one of these things, and then you'll have your Vader or, you know, whatever other ace, and then you'll have your other piece. I think it's like one of those things that you'll have like a 3-piece list, and it'll be one of those pieces. I don't think you'll want, you know, 2 or 3 in a list. I mean, the idea of jamming the crap out of stuff, yeah, it could be could be crazy, but if the dial, like if it is, doesn't have a dial that really allows it to move around, then I don't really see that being a thing, just like for U-wings aren't a thing.
Well, sure.
Like that would be kind of what I would see. So I think you'll see a lot of lists with like one of these built in a lot of different ways, depending on what crew combos they put together and that type of thing. Or it could just be like 90% of the time it's a Palp shuttle, you know. But I don't think it'll be that lopsided where it's just Palpatine carrier like the Lambda shuttle is. I think it'll be, yeah, you can bring Palpatine or you can bring Death Troopers plus, or I guess Death Troopers would be it, right, because they're double crew.
Yeah.
Or you could be like Rebel Captive Krennic, you know, or something like that, right?
Sure.
So I think there'll be a couple different ways that you'll see people use them, but I think it'll just be one kind of in a list at a time.
Man, so I would be lying if I probably at one point won't put Krennic in Whisper and then run like Whisper Kylo Bid. So, I mean, it's worst case, it's a 3-shield Whisper instead of a 2-shield Whisper.
Yeah. I was going to say, can you Krennic yourself? Like make yourself the prototype?
I mean, it says to a friendly Galactic Empire ship with 3 or fewer shields.
So it doesn't say other friendly.
Yeah, it doesn't say other friendly. Like it says any friendly ship.
Okay. Because I'm like, even then, you're giving Kylo 3 shields, right? Like, that's not bad either.
You can't give Kylo.
He's a first order ship.
Yep, I forgot about that, yeah.
Which is really good, because we don't need quick draw with more shields.
Yeah, quick draw with 4 shields, or Omega Leader just removing a shield and then hitting you and you can't modify.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, but given Whisper an extra shield, I mean, that alone is almost worth 5 points in a crew slot. Like,
yeah, so it's that's so good. It's crazy worth 5 points in the crew slot not on Whisper. That crew slot on Whisper, I don't know if it's actually worth it. I would almost universally rather have Gunner, but it's still really good.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is the same point that I made earlier, right? If you're using the Krennic mod, like on offense, it's the question of you're removing a shield on that target, but you're then not quote unquote hitting. Maybe, I mean, you still got 4 dice. But
well, so on typical Whisper play, you take the evade action, right? So you have the target lock to get your reroll in, but like that's still not always 4 hits. It's sometimes 3 hits. So when it's 3 hits, you just remove whatever you can. Like the second, like yeah, you just remove whatever it is, and you just okay, cool. Because it'd be it's a blank die anyway, right? Like it's not it's just gonna miss. So whatever.
Yeah. No. I was just going to say, like, that's where I still think, like Tyler's saying, I still think for 5 points, I think Gunner's better. But the Krennic, just giving it an extra shield, even if you, like, I don't know, can we read the card? Does it say must, like, remove a die, or is it a May effect? Where
it's
like, you don't.
Effect.
It's a May okay.
Spin. So you could literally just bring him for a 1 point extra shield upgrade on Whisper, which is still pretty damn solid, right? Because you still get advanced cloak and everything. So you could do it just for that. And in a list, depending on how you're building your list, that could be kind of cheeky because you choose who gets that on setup, right? So in certain matchups, you're like, oh, no, Whisper needs the extra health. Or in certain matchups, it's like, oh, I've got Soontra on the wing. No, he's getting the shield and he's getting the mod help, you know, that type of thing. So
sure,
yeah,
that could be kind of an interesting thing. But of course, then you've got Soontra Whisper plus X, and in this still stupid trajectory simulator bomb meta, that's probably not a good idea. But you know,
well, we'll see what the meta's like when these things get out.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. So what I was thinking of just on the side, I'm trying to figure out where I could put Targeting Scrambler. Just dumb idea. You put it on a PS3. Phantom and keep it permanently cloaked. And you don't shoot. You just scramble everyone any turn.
Yeah, but it's only when they shoot you.
Is Targeting Scrambler? No. Targeting Scrambler is the start of the planning phase. You receive a weapons disabled token to choose a ship at range 1 to 3 to do the scramble condition. Is it just you then?
Yeah, no, but the scrambled condition is when attacking a ship at range 1 that is equipped with Targeting Scrambler upgrade, you cannot modify your attack dice.
Okay.
You had Scrambler on everybody, sure.
No, my bad. I thought it was just, yeah, you pick a ship and that ship can't modify dice.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Just do 4 sigmas with Targeting Scrambler.
Well, so I mean, like, he's not wrong with like
Targeting Scrambler is unique, sadly. So.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, double. Yeah, no. So basically, I see this being played on the traditional Palp shuttle for 0 points, yep. because then as soon as something gets behind it, you just continually scramble it, and they can't bother dice against you. Cool.
Yeah, that's pretty much all it is. I thought it was you pick a ship, and that ship cannot modify dice for that round. I was like, that's really good.
Oh, yeah. It's really good for 0 points.
Compared to Sensor Jammer, it's 4 points cheaper. You know, this only works on one ship, right? Like, you can only scramble one ship, but that's 4 points.
Man, if you could get in and scramble the ghost every turn.
The ghost can't modify dice.
It seems good. Whatever. Actually, you know what? I'm fine. I'm in. Let it happen.
That's what I thought was unique. It's like, okay, I'm sacrificing one of my ships, making so your ship doesn't get modifiers, but that ship never attacking. It's like, that's okay.
I wasn't going to attack anyway. Haha.
Yeah. That's just like, oh, Cloaked Phantom. I pick a ship.
So, if you did do four Sigmas and just leave them cloaked with, like, if you could do it with Targeting Scrambler, you're literally just playing the, hey, try and hit my four edgy ship, go to Final Salvo, and have your 16 dice. The whole game would just be like, hey, my win condition is get to Final Salvo.
Yeah. It'd be
and beat you with 16 dice.
Perfect. Perfect. You deserve each other.
Yeah, quad workers versus three Scrambler. Sigma's cloaked. Nothing happens.
That's fine. The 16 dice still beats the 12. It's awesome.
You think so? I'd find a way to lose that.
All right. Well, I think that's about do it.
So we're excited for T65s. We're excited for Reapers. U-Wings still suck. Krennic probably has a negative condition, so internet, keep your pants on. It won't be that bad, I promise.
Yeah, I think there has to be something more added to that.
Yeah. Marcel's card from being the Gen Con winner last year in 2016? 2016?
I want to.
Is in the Partisan pack, so cool.
I want to put money on it being the Saw Gerrera crew card. That seems like a Marcel thing.
Wait, well, hold on. That's just when attacking, you may suffer one damage to change all your eyeball results to crits. That doesn't sound like Marcel.
Oh, I thought it was turn all of your dice to crits.
It's only focus results.
No. Is it only focus? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's fair then. I thought it was just like, oh no, okay, sure, I'll take a damage to wreck the shit out of you.
Yeah.
I think some of the rest of the crew, that basically the cards we can't see on the Reaper, are I'm excited for those.
Yeah.
Multi-spectrum camo. Seems good. I'm in. Give me a way to give Vader extra. Well, it's the mod slot. It has to be engine upgrade, but maybe it'll let me take two mods. It'll be fine.
Yeah, we don't know what it is. It could be. We have no idea what slot it is. We don't even. It's not token based because there's no extra tokens in the set.
Right.
It'd be like a super stealth device or whatever. That's just like a permanent increase your agility and give you auto thrusters in one. Here,
right.
Give it to Vader. Go. I don't care. I don't need engine upgrade anymore.
Yeah, for minus 3. Great. No, all
I'm
all
four
I need is,
four edgy with auto thrusters. Go. I don't need engine upgrade.
Let me have auto thrusters and reload on my TIE Advanced, and we'll be fine.
Unlimited
cruise. It'd be great. It'll be great. I only shoot one a game anyway, right? I mean, because I can. But it's hard to set up that second run.
Yeah. Unlimited rockets.
I mean, that's true. Like, man, I don't know if I'd... I mean, I would, but... That means I'm going to have to be retarget locking every turn.
It is almost like they thought ahead a little bit, because I thought of this the other day, as far as, like, defenders with cruise missiles, and I was like, oh, well, the X7 title takes that missile slot away. Probably a good thing, because just being able to, like, K-turn and 5-dice cruise, and K-turn 5-dice cruise, K-turn 5-dice cruise.
Dude, the Vader 4K, because he's got you locked on the turn before, so good.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, like, that's on steroids, because you still get your action, so it's not like you're just taking the target lock, you're getting focus with it, so.
Yeah.
Well, you could do TIEs with cruise missile.
Well, you could, but, you know.
Boy. All right.
Well, it was 9 long months, but we finally did it, boys.
Sure. And hey, it's been like 5 years, and we got a T65 fix.
Yeah. I am excited. They still probably will die very quickly, but they'll be more fun until they die.
Yeah.
All right, this is the first official. This is really like 1.5, right? Wasn't the lost episode a?
I guess it's 1.5. So everyone, this was like we made like a drunken pact to like do this at Worlds. After Caitlin and I bombed out, we just like all went out to this total dive.
No. This wasn't after you bombed. This was after the finals. This was Sunday night. Everyone had to fly out or drive home.
I just remember like you and Will had like actually done well, and Caitlin and I just wanted to bitch about Fen Rao for like 6 hours, and we pretty much did. And I just, like, even Will, who's, like, the nicest guy I've ever met, I could tell was, like, kind of getting sick of our shit, but I just did not care. I paid my money to go to Worlds. I was going to get it in as good as I could.
No, trust me. I've bitched about enough stuff in this game. I feel your pain. Like, we were kindred spirits.
this was like midnight on a Sunday in a random dive bar in Minneapolis that happened to still be open.
With the guy who was air humping on the sidewalk.
We were there until like 2
Yeah, we closed that shit down. We closed that shit down. Because it was Tom from Europe. Tom Reed. He was like, hey, Tyler, find us a bar. Like when we closed down the first one at midnight. And I'm like, it's Sunday. Nothing's open over here on Sundays. Come on now. So I just ran.
And we weren't even in Minneapolis. Oh, yeah, we were like way the hell out in the boonies.
It was a bit of a drive.
We were somewhere in the Minneapolis St. Paul area. I'm not responsible for where my phone takes us. But yeah, we were there playing pool with the St. Paul Invitational, some random drunk man that decided to become friends with us.
He was air humping everything.
And that disappeared into the night to never be seen again.
He did. He just vanished out
of
nowhere.
The best comment of the night was Tom Reed comes in and goes, I'm not a violent person, but if that guy tries to hump me one more time.
And he's like, I think I just got assaulted. That's assault in this country, right? Yes, Tom, I think that is in fact assault in this country.
Find out that guy's like some very important person in the Minneapolis
St.
Paul
area. Yeah, he really was the St. Paul Invitational.
All right, everyone. Well, thanks for bearing with us. Let us know how bad it was, and maybe we'll do one again in 9 months.
We're probably going to do one in like 3 weeks, just because we feel like it. It'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll all be salty after the next few events.
This is the boiler room, right? We can do whatever the hell we want.
We can do whatever we want. Lyle's not here to tell us what we can and can't do.
Yeah, so Lyle's go.
Everything goes.
I'll go hide in the ducting again. I'll go hide back in there.
Right. Well, yeah, Lyle's not here to tell us that it's probably a bad idea for us to order a 6.5-foot-tall cardboard cutout of Ricky. It's fine.
Only been awesome. 6.5-foot-tall? Like, should we make him like 9-foot-tall?
No, because that cost extra.
Well, you can give it to him and then put it in, you know, in his daughter's room and you know, really scar her for life.
No, this wasn't gonna make it back from did I not send you the link to this while I was at work? This was me working one day. This was like the Wednesday before Crate Cup. I decided that I wanted to have Ricky there, and he couldn't make it. So someone off the cuff mentioned, like, how much does it cost to get a custom, like, life-size cardboard cutout of someone? And apparently made and next day shipped was about $150.
Huh.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely didn't know this, but now it makes a lot more sense. I was just like, why are we getting a random cardboard cutout of Ricky?
Because he was going to sit behind the team. Like, he was going to be our team captain and just be, like, overlooking our shoulders the entire... We were going to tape an air horn on the back of him, so anytime someone killed a gunboat, you could sound the gunboat air horn.
Or just anytime anyone put a gunboat on the table.
Sure. Yeah. That too.
Or every time a gunboat moved. The gunboat was mentioned. It's just every time gunboat.
All right, that's it.
We've been all right, everyone. Yep, B team out. Thank you.
See you.